there, just standing there.
To Healing with Dr. Daniels, and it is Sunday, March 5th, 2017, and tonight's topic is pain medications. Are they putting you out of your pain or just putting you out of your misery? So tonight's topic is a look at what goes on in the standard of care in terms of the prescription or prescribing of medications for pain relief, and why you should probably never trust your doctor to relieve your pain. So, as always, just taking a look at what .gov has to say about it. Not my opinion, just theirs. So a lot of times when people go to the doctor, the initiating complaint is, well, pain. And so the question then is, how is this condition treated? What generally is the outcome? And what does that say about, future advice in terms of trusting your doctor to relieve pain? And millions of Americans every year receive prescriptions for pain medications that cause stroke, cause heart attack, and death. So is this pain relief or is it euthanasia? So we're going to take a look today and we're going to sort this out. So, first question is, well, what pain relievers do doctors use? What do they use to relieve pain? There's really only three classes of medicine for pain relief. One is NSAIDs. These are non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, things like Motrin, Nuprin, ibuprofen, aspirin. Then there are narcotics. These are things like OxyContin, methadone, morphine. And, of course, there's acetaminophen, also known as Tylenol. Or, in other countries, it's known as Panadol. So, let's take a look. Let's just take a look at a very common drug used. These are the NSAIDs. And NSAIDs, this is a class of drugs. And generally, what's true of one drug is true of the whole class, especially in the NSAID class. Now, there is some discussion that some NSAIDs have a greater degree of danger than others, but it's well accepted and agreed that all of them have these have pretty much the same issues. So we are going to take a look. And so our first look is going to be, of course, a popular information source that your doctor uses, which is Medscape. And Medscape, of course, is the premier information, education, publication source now for doctors. They send emails to your doctors, often several emails a day, and they even provide continuing medical education. Yes, this is a source of information where doctors keep up. So this is July 2015, and it says, the Food and Drug Administration strengthens NSAID warnings for heart and stroke risks. Yes, how about that? Take a drug for pain. Now, mind you, pain is not a deadly condition. Stroke is a deadly condition, and heart attacks are deadly. So you're taking a deadly drug for a non-deadly condition. Now, I was practicing medicine from 1990 to year 2000 in private practice. And somewhere around 1998, 1999, the pharmaceutical companies came out and said, you know what? There are 17,000 deaths every year from NSAIDs, just from people taking NSAIDs to relieve pain, and whoops, they bleed to death and drop dead. So now the Food and Drug Administration is saying, well, wait a minute, this number is bigger than we thought. Now people are dying of strokes and heart attacks from taking these drugs. So let's see what the FDA did back in 2015. So the U.S. FDA has strengthened an existing label warning that non-aspirin, so somehow aspirin, even though it's an NSAID, has been exempted from this warning. Anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, may increase the risk for heart attack or stroke, according to an agency alert sent today. Following a comprehensive review of new safety information, the FDA is requiring drug labels of all prescription and over-the-counter NSAIDs to be updated to reflect the increased risk. Now, of course, the risk didn't increase. The risk was always there. It's just that they've now recognized the risk. Prescription over-the-counter non-aspirin NSAIDs already include information about the risk of heart disease and stroke, either of which can lead to death. So they concur with my assessment that heart disease or heart attack and stroke can lead to death. The FDA states in a news release, now remember, we're treating a non-deadly condition called pain. So prescription non-aspirin labels first included box warnings and warnings and precautions sections in 2005. Since that time, the FDA reviewed new safety information on prescription and over-the-counter NSAIDs. It included observational studies, large combined analysis of clinical trials, and other scientific publications. This is the FDA's own data. This is their own discussion that these drugs are causing people to die from heart disease. So the updated label prescriptions will include the following information. Heart attack or stroke risk can increase as early as the first weeks of NSAID use, and the risk may increase with longer NSAID use. The risk appears to be greater at higher doses. Now, this was really shocking, and this first became apparent in 1999. We doctors were actually informed that when we use this particular type of pain medicine, commonly used for arthritis, that people can drop dead as soon as 1 week after taking the drug. That's pretty quick. Although the risk was previously thought to be similar for all NSAIDs, more recent information calls this into question. The FDA now says there's not enough information to determine whether the risk is higher or lower for one NSAID compared to another. But they do know it's higher for all NSAIDs, except aspirin. They're excluding aspirin from the discussion. So in general, the risk for heart attack or stroke after NSAID use is greater in patients with existing heart disease or risk factors because, of course, the risk is higher at baseline, and the increase is a percentage of the baseline. Patients who take NSAIDs after a first heart attack were more likely to die in the year after the heart attack, compared with those who did not take NSAIDs after their first heart attack. Patients are also at increased risk for heart failure with NSAID use. Now, I went to medical school 1979 to 83. We were taught in medical school in 1979 to 83 that NSAIDs caused increased risk of congestive heart failure. So this is a risk that was known as early, at least as early as 1983. Yet, it took until 2005 for the FDA to decide, you know, let's put a warning on this box. Healthcare professionals and patients should report adverse events potentially related to NSAID use to the FDA's MedWatch Safety Information Adverse Event Reporting Program online. It sounds good. And as a doctor who actually practiced medicine, who actually did make a report of an adverse event, I tell you, it was awful. I was deluged with so much paperwork from not only the FDA, but the drug reps, and it just never ended, the avalanche. And so I made up my mind I would never, ever report another adverse event. And so the patients aren't aware that doctors actually get this type of treatment when they make a report. But you literally, it can seriously interfere with your practice, attempting to cooperate with these so-called investigations. It's not like any of these drugs are taken off the market. So, I mean, as a result of a doctor filling out a report. And so what else do we know about NSAIDs? Now, NSAIDs kill people. What about, I know this is a reach for some of you, what about preventing the birth of human beings in someone who would like to conceive? So literally, if you have a population and something happens to that population that drastically decreases the birth rate, this is a silent type of extermination, because the humans are never born in the first place. So wouldn't you know it, NSAIDs dramatically reduce ovulation with consistent use. So if a woman uses NSAIDs consistently, for example, she takes them for her periods, her menstrual pain, and she stops ovulating. How amazing is that? So non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs have been shown to inhibit ovulation in young women, which could seriously undermine fertility, new research suggests. And so this doctor says, I'm actually a very late whistleblower, because many others have tried to say the same thing, that NSAIDs, which are widely used and can be bought without a prescription, prevent the ovarian follicle from rupturing. So women who are taking NSAIDs cannot release an egg to be fertilized. Well, this is a problem. It doesn't prevent ovulation. The body does produce the egg. It tries to release the egg, but the egg remains sealed inside the ovaries. What does it mean? You're going to get ovarian cysts. So in addition to not having the egg made accessible to the sperm for fertilization, the egg is released but retained as a cyst. So this causes more abdominal pain, which, of course, for which the lady takes NSAIDs. Yes, how cool is that? Although the process is reversible, a woman is not going to get pregnant if she continues to take NSAIDs. And doctors need to advise women to stop taking these drugs if they want to be fertile. The doctor presented the study results here at the European League Against Rheumatism Congress in 2015. Rheumatism is arthritis, and it's a disease or condition that affects women disproportionately and many young women. He and his colleagues evaluated 39 women of childbearing age who presented to a rheumatology clinic in Baghdad with minor back pain. The women were assigned to one of four treatment regimens: diclofenac, that's a nonsteroidal; naproxen, another nonsteroidal; etoxacib, another nonsteroidal; or placebo, which is nothing. Before the initiation of treatment, each woman underwent an ultrasound to assess the diameter of the dormant follicle, ovary size, and endothelial thickness. So these are just measures of different parts of the lady's reproduction. Because progesterone was essential for ovulation and the implantation of a fertilized embryo is known to be affected by NSAIDs, progesterone levels were also measured. So treatments were started on day 10 of a woman's cycle to ensure a follicle was being ready for release. After 10 continuous days on the treatment regimen, the woman underwent another ultrasound to assess the effect of the therapy. The dominant follicle, that's the part of the woman's anatomy that releases the egg, remained unruptured in 75% of women in the diclofenac group, 25% in the naproxen group, and 33% in the etoxacib group, and 0% in the placebo group. So everyone who took nonsteroidals reduced her fertility. All control patients on placebo ovulated, but ovulation was far less frequent in patients who were on the NSAIDs. After 10 continuous days of NSAID use, there was a significant decrease in progesterone. And NSAIDs also had an effect on the dominant follicle. Unruptured follicles were more common in the diclofenac group. The number of cysts was similar in all of the non-steroidal groups. This means that across all treatment groups, about one-third of patients developed a functional cyst, that means an ovarian cyst, due to the unruptured follicle. And young women commonly do have cysts, for which, of course, they're often advised to take birth control pills or, even worse, have surgery. The investigators were able to convince about half the women to return the next month for assessment of ovulation. After the discontinuation of NSAIDs, All the women did ovulate normally during the next cycle, he reported. This convinced us that the anovulatory effects of NSAIDs are reversible. Nevertheless, these findings highlight the harmful effects NSAIDs may have on fertility, and they could even open the door for research into a new emergency contraception with a more favorable safety profile than those currently in use, he said. The study is pertinent to rheumatologists, means arthritis doctors, for a number of reasons. First, reminds us we should be knowledgeable about uncommon side effects of drugs that we use frequently. Second, although most NSAID use is in the postmenopausal age group, is intermittent or both, rheumatologists see a substantial number of younger women for whom fertility is often an issue with inflammatory disease who use NSAIDs frequently. And so here we have pain medicine, which literally prevents the appearance of the next generation. Now, while not as gory as killing people who have already been born, preventing the birth of basically a whole generation is pretty impressive in terms of a drug's ability to snuff out life. But that's not all there is. The non-steroidals has also been shown to increase bleeding and cardiovascular risk in post-MI patients. So this is outrageous. So a person who's had a heart attack already, they're getting treatment after their heart attack, and the NSAIDs cause them to bleed, and blood loss, of course, can lead to death. This is a deadly condition. And lead them to have even another heart attack. This is pretty, pretty far out. Now, this is in Denmark, but, you know, humans are humans, so we're going to accept their assessments as to the effects of these drugs on humans. So patients who receive antithrombotic therapy following a heart attack, that means they thin the person's blood, and who take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug are at an increased risk of bleeding and an increased risk of cardiovascular death, non-fatal recurrent MI, and stroke, according to results of a new Danish observational study. The increased risk of bleeding and cardiovascular events was observed in all patients, regardless of the type of NSAID taken. Selective COX-2 inhibitors and non-selective COX inhibitors. This is important because selective COX-2 inhibitors were touted as being safer when they were released in 1999. It was found actually that was not the case. And here they're confirming that that was basically a false claim on the part of the drug companies. And even among patients who took the NSAIDs for a short period of time, report investigators. So in other words, even if they took the drug for just a short period of time, they had increased bleeding. Although it seems unlikely that physicians can completely avoid prescription of NSAIDs, even among high-risk patients, these results highlight the importance of considering the balance of benefits and risks before initiating any NSAID treatment. Now, you have to listen to this carefully. They said just consider it before initiating treatment. So in other words, go ahead and prescribe the NSAID, which causes a deadly side effect of stroke and bleeding. But just before you do it, consider the balance of benefits and risk. This is shocking. The American Heart Association recommends not prescribing an NSAID. When we come back, we'll talk more about this.
No, please don't go.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin. And to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all-natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high-quality, all-natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined, natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Dealing with Dr. Daniels. And today we're talking about pain medicines. Do they relieve your pain or just put you out of your misery? And so we're talking now about NSAIDs, a class of drugs that is so dangerous that the American Heart Association has recommended that they not be used in patients with established heart disease. This is amazing, since many people with established heart disease have arthritis and do use NSAIDs, over-the-counter and prescription. The cumulative evidence available is an important reminder that while NSAIDs can be helpful and at times necessary medications for satisfactory quality of life, use of these medications among patients with a history of a recent MI is likely to be associated with clinically meaningful bleeding and heart attack risk, they write. So this is like an oxymoron. How can a medicine that kills people be necessary for a satisfactory quality of life? It just doesn't make sense. The editorialists even worry that risks observed in the present study might be higher in the United States, where NSAIDs are widely available over the counter. In some instances, physicians might not even be aware the heart attack patient is taking the drugs. So speaking with HeartWire, this doctor who was not involved in research says it's important for physicians to obtain a complete medical history from their patients, including the use of NSAIDs. However, it is possible over-the-counter medications get overlooked because the patients aren't necessarily thinking about them as drugs. The other aspect of the issue is that if a patient has really bad arthritis, you have to do something about that. You can't just say tough it out, because that's not typically going to work. I don't think we can be overly dogmatic and say NSAIDs should never be used, because they are very effective medications, especially for arthritis when inflammation is present. Well, when is inflammation not present during arthritis? The itis part means inflammation. Arth means joint, itis means inflammation. So the word arthritis means joint inflammation. So to use it for arthritis when inflammation is present, well, inflammation is always present. So at any rate, the goal should be to minimize the dose and the duration to the extent that is possible, while realizing it may not always be possible. In other words, realizing that you're going to kill some patients. Okay. For patients who are going to be on dual antiplatelet therapy and chronic NSAID, physicians could consider starting a proton pump inhibitor, because it can reduce the risk of gastrointestinal bleeding, which accounts for a large portion of bleeding. However, you still have the stroke and heart complications. Sometimes physical therapy can help with arthritis, or other types of medication like acetaminophen, Tylenol, can help, he said. There are other approaches, but nothing is a perfect solution. Now, when I was in medical school, this was very frustrating to me. I did not see anybody with arthritis getting substantial relief. And I would constantly press the senior doctors, well, isn't there something else we can do? Is there something else we can do? This is just terrible. This poor person is, you know, is suffering with this pain and, of course, suffering with the medication side effects. Currently, there's a large Pfizer-sponsored study that would be a drug company known as the Prospective Randomized Evaluation of Celecoxib Integrated Safety versus Ibuprofen or Naprosyn. Large Danish Registry tracking patients' prescriptions. In the present study, the Danish researchers analyzed the association between the concomitant use of NSAIDs and various antithrombotic medications, including aspirin, clopidogrel, and oral anticoagulant therapy, and adverse cardiovascular outcomes and bleeding risk. In 61,971 patients admitted with a first-time heart attack between 2002 and 2011, the follow-up was 3.5 years. During a study period, ibuprofen, a non-selective COX inhibitor, was the only NSAID available without a prescription. But the analysis relied solely on prescription NSAID use, which included higher-dose ibuprofen. So overall, 34% of the heart attack patients filled a prescription for NSAIDs during follow-up. There were 5,000 bleeding events, including 2,000 gastrointestinal bleeds. The bad health of the deaths.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we're talking about pain medications. Are they putting you out of your pain or just putting you out of your misery? Now, this is really interesting. So we're talking about NSAIDs, a type of arthritis medicine that inhibits cyclooxygenase pathway without being a steroid. And so there's a study showing that every type of NSAID, including selective COX-2 inhibitors and non-selective COX inhibitors, was associated with an increased risk of bleeding. And in addition, no time period appeared to be safe, with bleeding risk heightened even within the first days, 3 days of treatment. So at whatever point you take this drug, there is no safe period. So it's not the kind of thing where you can bleed to death after a month of therapy, but not after a week of therapy. And so people experience devastating side effects as soon as 3 days. Within 3 days of when therapy is started. Now, the treatment groups, and this is an excellent example of biased studies, the control group is clopidogrel plus aspirin. These are both blood-thinning drugs. And so at no point were these drugs compared to doing nothing. In fact, aspirin itself is an NSAID. And so how can you have a control group, a control group using NSAIDs and comparing that to whether or not NSAID use is damaging. Nevertheless, even though they picked a biased control group, two blood thinners combined, and called that normal or zero risk, zero increased risk, whenever an NSAID was added to this in any combination, the risk increased as little as 1.41 to as much as 4.15% fourfold increase in risk of bleeding, substantial bleeding. And this is a lot of, really a lot of harm. So overall, though, taking an NSAID was associated with a significant 40% increased risk of a cardiovascular event, that means a heart attack, compared with those taking antithrombotics alone. Just pause here. Did you know that taking a cholesterol medication only reduces your risk of heart attack by, at best, 10%? And so here we have a drug that increases your heart attack risk by 40%, and there's no suggestion that it should not be used? Interesting. For those taking DAPT, common anticoagulant therapy after heart attack, the addition of an NSAID increased the risk of cardiovascular event, that means another heart attack, by 59%. Wow. While aspirin plus an NSAID increased the risk 58%. That's a lot of increased risk. Like the risk of bleeding, the risk of cardiovascular events, heart attack, was observed among all the different NSAIDs. And so now they're going to say NSAIDs are helpful, but they carry risk. Guidelines recommending minimizing the use of NSAIDs in patients with prior heart attack, given the existence of these and other data, most of which are consistent, showing there might be risk associated with their use. Well, wait a minute. These are scientific studies. They're consistent. They're objective. We're going to believe them. So it's not might be. It's there is. For example, in the reduction of atherothrombosis for continued health registry, which included nearly 45,000 patients with stable atheromatous, that means they were doing fine, the use of NSAIDs was associated with an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, and hospitalization for heart failure. Overall, the risk of heart attack increased 37% and the risk of stroke 21% among NSAID users. Again, this is a risk that way exceeds any benefits, say, of a cholesterol-lowering medication. So by just stopping your NSAID use or arthritis use, you cut your heart attack risk by 37%, 21%, 58%, depending on which group you're in. This is shocking. Again, this is why we have a death rate of 880,000 people every year as a result of the standard of care, because drugs like this, drugs to treat a non-deadly condition, are deadly. Not only are they deadly, but doctors are encouraged to use them. I think some things are pretty certain. If a patient has a high cardiovascular risk, such as a recent heart attack, particularly if they're getting other antithrombotic drugs, and if they've had a heart attack, they should be adding an NSAID is almost certainly going to increase the risk of bleeding in general, and in particular, gastrointestinal bleeding. Well, this is kind of like almost like a non-statement. NSAIDs increase the risk of bleeding, period, in healthy people. It just increases it even more in these people who have heart problems. For some patients who have a bleeding event, there's a possibility they might stop taking their blood-thinning medication because they attribute the bleed to these medications. This, in turn, can increase the risk of cardiovascular events. Regarding the risk of this, so in other words, what they're saying here is absolutely outrageous. If somebody is in the process of spilling their blood on the floor because it's too thin, it seems reasonable to cut back their blood-thinning medication because NSAIDs, these arthritis pills, thin the blood, and blood thinners thin the blood. So it makes sense to cut back either one of those. Regarding the risk of ischemic or cardiovascular events with NSAIDs, the association is a little more controversial. It may be controversial, but it was well known as far back as 1983. But this doctor said, listen carefully, I would say that more analysis should be done. And if there is a link, it's probably more likely to be apparent in people who are at higher risk. So this guy says if there is a link, when as far back as 1983, there was an established link. In fact, it was taught in medical school in 83. There wasn't a link. It was cause and effect expected. He noted that older patients with more health problems, like arthritis, are more likely to take NSAIDs than healthier patients. So the results, even though adjusted for baseline patient characteristics, might be obscured by such variables. However, there are mechanisms in which NSAIDs might increase the risk of ischemic events, that's heart attacks. One theory is it might increase blood pressure, while other is the drugs, especially ibuprofen, interfere with aspirin's beneficial heart effect. So the bottom line here is even though these drugs are shown by numerous studies to cause bleeding, especially worse after a heart attack, and to cause heart attacks, there's no suggestion that these drugs should be stopped. It's like, oh my God, we can't do that. We can't stop them. And so you might say, well, Dr. Daniels, why don't we just use another painkiller? Like, duh. How about, well, you know, Tylenol, you know, acetaminophen. That's reasonable because, you know, I asked the same question in medical school. I said, well, why not use some acetaminophen? Well, I'll tell you, my observation in medical school was that for somebody who has arthritis pain, acetaminophen was pretty much ineffective. And it was necessary to give higher and higher and higher doses. So what does the Minnesota Poison Control System say about this? They say acetaminophen dangers. Dangers of too much acetaminophen. Scenarios which often result in inadvertent acetaminophen overdoses. Children being given Tylenol to relieve a fever over several days. In other words, after their immunizations. Treating pain like headache, toothache, or backache with various prescriptions and over-the-counter pain medications. Treating a cold, allergies, and stuffed up nose at the same time. Ingesting various generic non-aspirin products. And so why is this a problem? Because simultaneous use of multiple products, each containing Tylenol, often without the person's knowledge, inadvertently exceeding the maximum daily dose of 4 grams of Tylenol in adults or 2.6 grams in children. Unaware, various over-the-counter products contain Tylenol. Co-ingesting over-the-counters and prescription medications that contain Tylenol. And of course, common prescription medications containing Tylenol include Tylenol and hydrocodone, Vicodin and Lortab, Tylenol and propoxyphene, Darvocet, Tylenol and oxycodone, Percocet, Tylenol and Tramadol, Ultracet, Tylenol and butalbital and caffeine, Furoset, Tylenol and isomethaptine, and dichlorophenazone, Midrin. So basically, Tylenol is added with narcotics. And they give you a list of everything that has Tylenol in it. But what is the problem? Well, the dangers are over-the-counter combination products can have hidden dangers, especially if multiple medications containing Tylenol are taken. And it can cause liver damage from acetaminophen, which is the same as Tylenol. It's a generic name. And this is a problem. And, of course, Tylenol is the number one cause of the need for liver transplant. And so here we have a long-term acetaminophen use and health risks. This is 2015. Acetaminophen may not be as safe as previously thought. This is from WebMD. With larger doses and long-term use linked to increased risk of health problems. So the World Health Organization recommends Tylenol as a frontline treatment for pain. and is considered safer than non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So if we take a look at the death toll, then yes, it is. So death toll from non-steroidals is more or less 17,000. From Tylenol, it depends on how it's counted, but as far back as when I was in practice in the 90s, the accepted death toll from Tylenol annually was 2,500. More recently, it's listed as about 500 deaths per year. This is more people than Zika has killed or many of our other newfangled epidemics. A small group of studies has raised questions about Tylenol's safety or acetaminophen's safety if used for a long time and at high doses to treat chronic pain. Heavy use of acetaminophen is associated with kidney disease, heart attack, stroke, and high blood pressure. Now, this is shocking because all of the lifestyle modifications that doctors are told patients to make if they have heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, I can tell you, in medical school, no one ever suggested stopping the Tylenol. One cited study even showed that overuse of acetaminophen can increase a person's risk of early death as much as 60%. 60%. In other words, deadlier than AIDS. Bigger doses seem to be associated with those side effects. Study authors are calling for a new systematic review of acetaminophen's effectiveness and safety, saying that the medication's true risks are higher than that currently perceived in the clinical community, which is true. The cited side effects appear similar to those of NSAIDs. Tylenol or acetaminophen still seems safe when taken occasionally or when taken at moderate doses for treatment of long-term chronic pain. It still may be the right drug if used in the proper dose. I feel like this study probably wouldn't change my message to my patients, which includes telling them to avoid extra strength versions of acetaminophen and stick to the directions for use. Now, this brings up a very subtle thing. In other words, if Tylenol were so effective for pain, how come so many people take enough to kill themselves? If Tylenol were so effective for pain, then how come people take enough to bring on a heart attack or stroke or high blood pressure? In other words, it appears that what's going on here is the dose at which pain is relieved is higher than the dose at which death occurs. So I'll make this real clear. When a person takes enough Tylenol to relieve pain, and that's their only measure, when they relieve pain, they will often reach the point of damaging themselves or even killing themselves before their pain is relieved. In other words, they will still be in pain when they die. Put another way, you've got a drug described as a painkiller when the dose needed to relieve pain is higher than the dose needed to kill the person. So you have to ask yourself then, what's really going on here? Is this drug a pain reliever or is it a human exterminator? That's a good question. And so here's a Harvard Health Publications, a definitely mainstream establishment publication. I mean, if they say there's danger, I'm telling you there's danger because you can expect them to downplay it. So let's see what we hear from Harvard Health Publications, Harvard Medical School. It says, acetaminophen safety, be cautious, but not afraid. Don't be afraid of Tylenol, just be cautious. Read labels and stick to guidelines to prevent this widely used pain and fever remedy from harming your liver. Now, what do you know about your liver? First of all, you only got one. And two, when you destroy it, you're dead. So this is a pretty big piece of caution they're advising. They go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And so cold, cough, and flu season is a good time to revisit the risk of acetaminophen, the pain and fever reliever, and Tylenol. it seems to me the back-to-school season with people getting vaccinations and fevers might be a good reason to revisit this as well. And so, Tylenol and many over-the-counter medications, billions of doses of acetaminophen are consumed safely every year. But deaths still occur from accidental overdose, and thousands of people end up in the emergency room. More than 600 products contain acetaminophen, and inadvertently combining them can nudge you into the red zone. People don't realize that these doses all add up, and before you know it, you've exceeded the recommended dose of Tylenol, says Dr. Melissa Liebecker, a specialist in emergency medicine and toxicology. Tylenol or acetaminophen safe dosages. Acetaminophen controls pain and fever but does not reduce inflammation, and as does aspirin and other widely consumed non-steroidal drugs, ibuprofen, Motrin, Naprosyn, Aleve. But unlike NSAIDs, acetaminophen does not irritate the stomach and intestinal lining. That means a person who cannot tolerate NSAIDs can still take acetaminophen. It's an important drug for controlling chronic pain in older adults. The hitch is acetaminophen, get this, also has a narrower window of safety compared with ibuprofen and naproxen. In other words, the lethal dose and the therapeutic dose are very, very, very close together in Tylenol, much closer together than NSAIDs. So NSAIDs can make you sick too, but it takes a larger amount to reach a dangerous overdose. Taking too much acetaminophen can damage the liver, leading to a liver transplant or death. But you're saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. The body breaks down most of the acetaminophen in a normal dose and eliminates it in the urine. But some of the drug is converted into a byproduct that is toxic to the liver. If you take too much all at once or over a period of days, it can build up in the body and the body cannot handle it. For the average healthy adult, the generally recommended maximum dose is no more than 4,000 milligrams from all sources. Now listen to this carefully, but in some people, doses close to 4,000 could still be toxic to the liver.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. So today we're talking about drugs. Painkillers, do they relieve your pain or just put you out of your misery? And so this is a piece from the Harvard Health newsletter. And in some people, doses close to the 4,000 of Tylenol or acetaminophen daily limit could still be toxic to the liver. In other words, the dose at which people die and experience toxicity is equal to, and in many cases less than, the maximum recommended dose. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we have here a drug whose known recommended dose is actually deadly. How to stay within limits. And they give you little tips on how to stay within various limits, but of course, it doesn't matter because many people die while staying within these limits. In fact, in the 90s, continuing medical education conference I went to, they said there's no dose of Tylenol at which a death has not occurred. This is pretty shocking. In other words, even at safe doses of Tylenol, people have died, are dying, and continue to die. And so you might say, well, geez, you got Tylenol, acetaminophen, killing 500 Americans a year. You got nonsteroidals killing 17,500 Americans a year. Well, why don't we give them the narcotics? How about the narcotics? Yeah, how about that? Well, drug overdose death data. This is, of course, a bit of a tragedy. And so in 2015, which was not a very good year, 2015, there were more or less, let me make sure we got this right, close to 33,000 Americans dying from drug overdoses. The majority of drug overdose deaths, more than 6 out of 10, involved an opioid. From 2000 to 2015, more than 500,000 people died from drug overdoses. 91 Americans die every day from an opioid overdose. That's a lot of deaths. So then, what is the reason for these drug overdoses? There's lots of reasons, but chief of which is people are taking these drugs for pain relief, number one, and the amount they need to take to relieve their pain is higher than the amount needed to kill them. And so they are literally attempting to relieve their pain, and this is leading to lethal amounts. Let's just take a look here and see if we can get them to give us a total of drug overdose. Okay, 33,000 people in 2015. That's a lot of deaths.
I saw you there, just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, then once again.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.